This is Tim Donnelly, and I want to share a new podcast with you that Graham and I have been working on with Brian Murphy from WRAL News. This is a new season of A Brief History of Triangle Sports on the historic push to legalize sports betting in North Carolina. We're taking it all the way back to the point-shaving scandal of the Dixie Classic basketball tournament in the 1960s, through the wild vote to pass the lottery in 2005. We're going through the whole messy history of gambling in the state and what led to legal sports betting. The series is available now. Find A Brief History of Triangle Sports in any podcast app or on YouTube. Here's a preview of episode one.
Since 2018, legal betting has become commonplace in the United States, intermixing closer and closer with sports. What was once taboo, spreads, lines, over-unders, prop bets, is now commonplace. Fodder for discussion on every sports show. It's about time for some, including ESPN's Mike Greenberg.
I certainly understand people's hesitation when it comes to this, but I have been a proponent of legalized gambling for decades. I've always felt that when something is going on anyway in mass numbers, I believe gambling has been prevalent in the United States, particularly on football and other sporting activities, for decades. I mean, since before my time, and certainly it was when I was in college and other places, I knew where to make bets in college, and I did it all the time. And I think when you take those things out of the darkness and into the light, more good comes of that than bad.
No matter what your comfort level is on sports betting, whether you can calculate the odds of a three-team teaser in your head, or you're not really sure what Panthers -2.5 even means, you've surely noticed its rapid expansion across the U.S. in recent years. A Supreme Court decision in 2018 cleared the way for all states, not just Nevada, to get into sports gambling.
But this is North Carolina, where an anti-gambling law has been on the books since 1764, before the United States even existed. The law said you couldn't win more than 5 shillings a day from a game of chance. There were no single-game parlays in the 1760s, apparently. And over the next 160 years, North Carolina banned public gaming tables and staked card games in public taverns. And though lotteries were used in the 1700s and 1800s to raise money to build roads, churches, government buildings, even Old East on the UNC campus, eventually those too were banned, along with private gaming tables and slot machines. Governor Roy Cooper grew up in Nash County in eastern North Carolina. The 66-year-old has held elected office since 1987. In fact, he's never lost an election.
In North Carolina, there are a lot of people, for faith and other reasons, are morally opposed to gambling and don't believe that there should be any state-sanctioned gambling, mostly Republicans, but some Democrats fall in that category. Then you have a number of Democrats who believe that gambling is a regressive tax, that it takes advantage of people who are struggling financially.
Cooper is the state's sports fan-in-chief. In the executive mansion, his home, there are signed footballs and soccer balls from North Carolina teams. There is a large framed picture of the 2006 Carolina Hurricanes Stanley Cup-winning team with smaller photos of Cooper and family members posing with the cup. But Cooper, like most native Carolinians, was first hooked on college basketball, Atlantic Coast Conference college basketball.
It was college basketball as a kid. It was, you know, the ACC and the ACC tournament. You know, that Friday when they were 8 teams, in my opinion, was the greatest day in sports. And when I was growing up, those games were not on TV, and they were on a Friday. So I'll never forget, in school, we could often talk our teachers into having a radio with a piece of aluminum foil on it to make sure we got good reception, to actually listen to those games on that Friday. And usually the only one that was televised was the championship game. And as you know, that was for all the marbles to go to the NCAA. If you did not win the tournament, then you didn't go.
The state's love affair with the sport predated even the ACC. It started before Mike Krzyzewski and his 5 national titles at Duke, before Roy Williams and his 3 championships at North Carolina, before Tim Duncan at Wake Forest, and Christian Laettner's shot against Kentucky, before Jim Valvano and his cardiac pack in 1983, before Mike Jordan and his jumper delivered a title for Dean Smith in 1982, before David Thompson was a Skywalker, before Frank McGuire's 1957 UNC team took down Wilt Chamberlain for the NCAA title.
Before all of that, before even the ACC, there was Everett Case and the Dixie Classic.